Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this Week Trend episode. Week Trend. I prefer the Week Trends. Reference to a 25-year-old SNL sketch. My name is Jack, and I am thrilled to be joined by a very talented producer, musician. He's one of the very producers of this show. It's Brian Jeffries!
Hello. It's early. What's going on, Jack? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. It's early. But, yeah, how was your weekend? I'm healed up. I'm feeling better.
That's good to hear.
On my end. Yeah. Now my kid's sick, but that's just constant state of things.
Yeah, weekend was good. It was uneventful. It was filled with the music of contemplative black male artists in their 40s. in the way of Danny Brown and Andre 3000. So that was my weekend.
Oh, I didn't listen to the Danny Brown.
Oh, it's a low voice album. He brings the drama. There's none of this hype stuff on there, really. He's very serious. He's very adult. And he's going through it. Or he's been through it. So
damn. Well, we are gonna talk about the Andre album in a bit, which is a true journey. Took me on a real journey.
Bro.
I've only listened to it a couple times, but I think it will continue to evolve into a panther.
yeah, it's definitely in my rotation.
Yeah. But before we get to what's happening out there, Brian, we like to talk about something that we think is overrated and underrated. You want to start? You want me to kick it off?
I can start just because, you know, yours seems, you know, a little more thought out than mine. So for me, overrated, you know, I'm torn. I'm indecisive. I put a couple in here, so I'm just gonna run through those. So my first overrated is birthdays for adults.
Yeah, I tend to agree with this.
So my partner's birthday is coming up, and we're trying to.
I don't want to do anything for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to navigate. This birthday, you know, we're both old, so we don't give a shit about our birthdays. But there's this nagging feeling of like some sort of obligation that you need to do something or go somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's really tiresome because it's like we're just sat here like I'm just lobbing stuff at her like, hey, you want to do this? You want to go here?
Yeah.
And no, it's like, I mean, right. I guess we might as well. It's just like, you know, we're both, you know, basically like 40 and have disposable incomes and we just could not care less about how old we are or what we should be doing on our birthdays. And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like that's a concept that should die in like a Logan's Run-esque kind of way where once you hit a certain age, you stop getting birthdays or they're just sort of like lumped together or they're just sort of periodic or there's a holiday for
you
old
do the
people
big one. But just like get out of there.
After 30, you just have a birthday every 10 years or something like that. I don't know, but it's
like
it's
it doesn't
tiresome.
Even count. Yeah, it would be helpful if culture was just like, no, that's after this age, you don't get birthdays. Like after 18, what do we think? After
18 could work. But I feel like people in their 20s really like still get something out of it.
Yeah, still need it. Yeah. It
wasn't me personally, but I feel like, you know, Logan's Run rules, like 30. They hit you with the blue laser and you don't get any more birthdays.
What happens in Logan's Run? I actually never watched.
Well,
you can
do whatever you're born. You can do whatever you want. I mean, I have a lot of questions about Logan's Run. I actually don't like that movie, but I find it fascinating because there's no black people and the society works is real. They didn't flesh out the details.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you're born, you can live free, you don't have to work
or die.
You can bone all this stuff, and then when you hit 30, they take you to the arena and they hit you with that laser or whatever the fuck it is, and then you're gone.
They kill you?
Yeah, they get rid of your ass.
Damn. All right.
And you know, I don't think it's a terrible idea in certain aspects.
30 is pretty young, but all right.
30 is pretty young, but it's it's a curious film to me. I always found it a little odd. Second thing, just real quick, is New Therapist. Because
overrated. Yeah. Because
not they themselves, but the whole process of not just finding one, but it's more after you've found one that you think is viable. The whole process of catching them up on everything that's wrong with you.
Right.
That is the fucking pain in the ass of like, where do you start? And then you only have an hour to like start catching them up and you got to pick. It's such a weird format to me. Like, especially with a new therapist, there's so much wasted time to me of. I wish you could like do like Matrix style, just download all your trauma into someone's brain so you don't have to like talk through it. You can just get down to brass tacks. It would be so nice
if you will check your inbox. I've sent you 12 single spaced pages of
or like a dossier of a trauma dossier. So those are my overrateds.
All right, my overrateds, I got a couple too. I got just current websites generally. I don't know. At a certain point, I just accepted that websites were going to be bad. And that's weird because I used to work on a website and they don't have to be broken. And they used to work. When there was a problem that people were facing, like an article page was broken or like ads were choking out people's ability to like read an article. Like you would then go talk to the people who worked on the programming side and they would, you know, try and fix that.
You know, it's funny, Jack, because I feel like it used to be like porn sites that were yammed up with ads and pop-ups and stuff back in the day. And now it's news sites.
Yeah, we've just given up.
News sites are the new porn sites because, man, they're just completely, and it's fucked because it's like, it's different when you're trying to like, I don't know, watch porn, for example, like
it, right. it,
there's not a you whole lot
been
of
to
like
a news
real
site in many years. Let's be honest. That's what you're like. Let's say, for instance, I don't know, you're watching porn.
And it's like there's no information, important information that that site's trying to impart. It's for entertainment purposes.
But
when you're trying to read an article and you got like, oh man, I mean, we've all seen it. It's just brutal.
It's gotten so bad.
It's so bad.
So that's a mess. I feel like we've just kind of given up, and I'm not sure. I don't know that there's a way to fix it necessarily, other than I guess like the subscription sites, but where you don't have ads, are more usable. But it's truly at a certain point it got so bad, and everyone was just like, yeah, that's just like what the internet is. And like a lot of times, like news sites are like, you have an ad blocker on, you can't come here, and that sucks
for you. Is it just the advertisements? Or are there design elements that are
I think they just like stopped paying attention. Like they stopped. It just, the whole thing feels vastly understaffed. It's the Van Vaught of it all also, you know? I refer to frequently this article where I saw a headline on the side of a news article that said, it's no big secret why Van Vaught no longer works in Hollywood. It was a picture of Vince Vaughn. They had outsourced the headline writing to AI, and it feels like a lot of different things have been outsourced to AI, and we're just not acknowledging it yet.
Yeah, it really is coming just, in like from multiple angles, like the quality drop.
Yeah, the other one that's just kind of random, but crowd scenes in movies are, I just watched the movie King Richard. My family's going through a bit of a tennis thing at the moment.
Bit of a Will Smith phase right now.
Bit of a Will Smith phase. But the movie like ends with a climactic crowd scene that like doesn't really make sense. They're like leaving Venus Williams's first public match, or like what, her first one that like people were like, wow, she's really good. And she's sad because she ends up losing it. It's like a Rocky, you know, sports movie ending, Rocky shaped sports movie ending.
Well, because we know then, how it really ends.
Right. But then as they leave like the empty stadium at the end, there's this crowd of people in like an otherwise desolate landscape, like an empty parking lot. So they've like, I don't know, it's like car commercial empty, the landscape. But then this inexplicable crowd that seems like they're something from like a video game are just there being like, Venus, 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 over here for an autograph, Venus. Hurrah for you, Venus. We are your fans, Venus. I was watching with my wife. She's like, what's happening? Who are these people? And it's like, it's been a pretty solid movie to that point, but it's just like,
totally pulled you right out of it.
It's the, like, all, and the performances by the crowd are like really bad. They don't really make sense. They're like what? Serena, who is not yet a known tennis player, like gives somebody an autograph. They're like, you too, Serena. And then she gives someone an autograph, and like someone like pumps their fist, even though they like wouldn't know who her little sister is. But yeah, I don't know. I've just been noticing this a lot. Like, as I mentioned, we were going through like a thriller phase. We just watched In the Line of Fire, and there's this like key scene in a presidential campaign stop where like John Malkovich fools Clint Eastwood with a popped balloon. And it's like part of the thing that drives it is like that he's in the middle of this like frantic crowd, but the crowd is like, doesn't make sense. It's just people in suits with like wooden expressions on their face, just like rushing the president for no good reason.
Yeah. Directing crowds must be a real pain in the ass. There's just way too many particles in there.
Yeah, exactly. There's too much to control for, but it just feels like there's a huge gap between the like writing and like conception of a crowd scene, and then like what they are apparently a nightmare to pull off, because especially in movies where we're like rewatching things on high def, and you're gonna get just like, have you ever rewatched the movie Braveheart?
Or not on purpose. Not on purpose. I have seen it multiple times, but never of my own volition.
That was like the movie that substitute teachers showed in Kentucky when like with, you know, I probably watched Braveheart like multiple times through in high school.
Mel Gibson historical films famously have a real problem with accuracy. So interesting yes. choice.
Yeah, exactly. but like the crowd battle scenes, it just looks, I don't know. It looks like he hired 100 just dudes off the street. They're like running into certain death, but they have like these like smiles on their faces, like lull. Like you can see the word lull on their faces. Like,
well, that's because he hired them for their butts, for what their butts look like.
Right, it's that's a butt true.
Casting.
Yeah. It's like must show ass.
Must show you just, ass.
Like, you just tell some of these motherfuckers have Snapple in their bodies. Like
and just jostling around in there.
They're supposed to be like
they just
you know.
Came from the fucking the craft services tent just yeah. full of Snapple.
Yes, just so much Snapple, and they're supposed to be like serfs in a feudal era of anyways. But yeah, the those are my overrated. What's your underrated, Brian?
All right, underrated. What the fuck did I put? Okay. First one, water pressure. Water pressure, and just generally, like, you know, the modern marvel of plumbing. So I live in a place where the water pressure frequently drops to an unacceptable level.
Right.
And I have to take one of those showers. I don't know if you're familiar, Jack, where you kind of basically have to like almost lean up against a leaky wall.
Yes. Yes. Just cover the wall with your body's surface area to get really the water to like drip over you. Yeah.
It probably looks like some weird sexy music video from the 90s, unsexified. Yeah.
What is he doing to that wall? That's somebody who just like happens on you. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you don't really appreciate. And it's like, I'm going to be moving next year to like a new place. And that's one of the things, me and my partner, that is top of the list is
water pressure,
but a bathroom with killer water pressure.
Yeah.
That's one underrated for me. And then another tangentially related thing is self-imposed exile / solitude. So I've been in basically self-imposed exile for like 5 years.
Yeah.
It's something you may not know.
After you tried to take over the government, Napoleon style.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. but basically I've been sorting my life out and just staying at home a lot. And I've gotten a lot of stuff done. I've worked on my mental health. I've taken my poor credit up to quite good. Just taking time for yourself to the extreme doesn't have to be a terrible thing, at least for me.
No. Yeah.
Because, yeah, now I'm ready to get back out there and interact with people and.
Yeah,
not Americans, but
right. Yeah, I was gonna say just generally, I think it's a worthy experiment for everyone to try and take like some time. If you were born and raised in the United States, to try and take some time away from the United States, and like go through the like your body may reject it at first, but
it definitely does.
There will be a quietness, a quieting of the soul that takes place, and when you come back you will see things in a new light. Some of the things that you just kind of take for granted having grown up in the United States, you like start to see as being like weird and artificially sped up, and just kind of dark impulses that you don't have to partake in.
There's so many things that when you step away and you come back, you're like, whoa, like every right. And it's just like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. And I just just taking away, it turns out a lot of my stressors were and I hate that this is true, but a lot of my stressors kind of boiled down to America problems.
Yeah.
Because my stress levels are at an all-time low. The range of strong emotions has narrowed, and I'm just, yeah, I feel more balanced.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Not, I definitely was somebody who, in my 20s, and this isn't like how I come across like publicly, but I think like privately, almost exclusively privately, I was like, I'm an angry person, because I'm very like angry at myself and like very hard, same, on myself when I like fall short. And yeah, there would be little temper tantrums I would have with myself, like at myself. And I just like kind of taken that for granted as like, that's who I am. That's just,
yeah,
doesn't need to be. It turns
really
out.
Doesn't. You don't, yeah, have to be like an angry person. It's just, yeah, finding out what it is that's like getting under your skin.
Yeah.
And seeing what you can do to work with that or alleviate that or remove that from your life. Yeah, it does wonders for your mental, yeah, health.
Let's see. For my underrated, I have like a page and a half on the digestive system.
Which I was like so on board for.
So first of all, nothing makes you appreciate something like having it just like go out on you. Like, mm-hmm, my digestive
pressure
system stopped. Yeah, exactly. My digestive system stopped working for a few last week, and it was unpleasant. And also the other thing that has like put this the front and the center of my mind is one of my kids is obsessed with the digestive systems, like just with like I find him reading about digestive systems all the time. Like if there's a science book in the house about animals or like the human body,
like how do you fit that many miles of intestines in a person?
Exactly.
It's incredible. Like what?
It's crazy.
Wait, how many?
Yeah. Yeah. But if you leave him alone with, something that is attached to Google, you better believe he is looking at the digestive system, like getting all up in them guts. So to speak, with his mind, with his curious child's mind. And like at first I like chalked it up to, you know, both of my kids think poop is funny and are kind of talk about poop all the time. And I was like, this is just like a more intellectual approach to being obsessed with poop. But I also think that like the reason most kids and like most humans find poop funny, like at our most elemental level, like I think, you know, humor is like us realizing something or coming to terms with something that we can't like grasp with our conscious mind. And, you know, there's like anxiety or like a magic or something that's unexamined. But I think it's because it like deserves that attention. Like it deserves that power. It's like a massively powerful, incredible system inside of all of us that does something that I feel like no human invention can really rival. Like it takes our delicious food. First of all, it like craves exactly the food, the fuel that like your body needs.
That's the thing.
It's in control. You don't realize.
It is completely in control.
It's got a lot of neurons firing off down there. It's got taste buds down in your stomach. And then it uses chemical compounds to like turn that fuel that it craves and like go like helps you go about acquiring into life, but like not in like a whimsical way. It's so like wet and sloppy and like alive. It's like a drive-through car wash made of like blood and acid and mud and bile. And then also just like from an existential like lived experience, it's the part of our human experience that is most grounded. Like you feel the big important ideas. Like a lot of times for me, it's like ideas my brain isn't ready for yet. I feel them in my gut, you know? And like what we today call like having feelings for someone, they used to call having bowels for someone, because people in history were nasty little shit freaks.
How romantic.
I know, exactly. I have bowels for you, baby. But it's kind of like, for me, at least in my lived experience, it's kind of the most grounded, immovable part of my felt human experience. Like when I have anxiety about something unresolved, my brain can distract itself with bullshit, but my guts, like, you know, they don't untangle so easily. Yeah.
Your gut knows.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. And yeah. I don't know. I like to look at the things that, like, my kids are into and think heavily about them. So, next week you will get a, you know, 3-hour treatise on Star Wars, I guess.
Tight.
All right. Those are our overrated and underrated. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. We're bank. Leave it. All right. I've heard of Sam Bankman-Fried, but Sam Altman fired? So this was one of AI's big dogs in the world of, like, the companies that are using AI that are, like, fueling a big chunk of the growth in the stock market. He's also kind of the spokesperson. There's that Atlantic article that was extremely long and basically was like, man, AI might kill us all, Terminator style. And he was kind of the main source in that article. It was like kind of a feature on him. And he's like going from one meeting to another around the world, just being like, yeah, it's really scary, man. Like, it's, you know, he told the New Yorker that he kept a cyanide capsule on him in case of an AI takeover.
Like, oh, based.
Yeah.
So based.
Like, just in case, like an AI takeover in the style of Mitchell's versus the Machines or iRobot is like one of the dangers of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, that's how you know this guy's a chuckle fuck. It's like AI literally doesn't exist yet, but you got that thing on you. Okay, buddy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like he of all people dealing knows with chat that's butts, not you what
asshole.
We're,
yeah. Like get out of here.
He of all people knows. The longer this story goes, the more it becomes clear that this was a situation. So he was unexpectedly fired by the board of the company OpenAI. There's been stories where like 500 of the 700 employees of the company are like, if you don't bring him back, we quit. So he's obviously very popular at the company. But it seems like the board was saying we should pump the brakes on some of this stuff. And he was more of a racing full throttle forward with just trying to develop this into something that was, easier to make money off of, which again, because
write that letter.
Yeah. He's part of the letter. He's the one, he's the cyanide capsule guy. And apparently the board found out he was like hiding things or not being totally candid. And yeah, so Microsoft has hired him.
Scooped him right up.
Yeah, scooped his ass right up and was like, yes, he's going to lead a major division of our company. I don't know. It'll be interesting to learn more about what the nature of the disagreement is, but I feel like the market is doing the thing that we like anytime someone's like, well, the market will figure it out, right? I'm always like, this is how the market will work. It will reward whoever is the most ambitious about making the most money off of a thing in the most short-sighted way possible.
Yeah. It's like, there's no altruism in capitalism. It's right. Not a fucking thing, everybody.
Yeah. They would end the world. I mean, and have shown this repeatedly with, you know, fossil fuel companies being at the forefront of climate change research in the 80s and then being at the forefront of burying the shit out of that. So, yeah, but Microsoft said that Mr. Altman would be chief executive of the new research lab, setting a new pace for innovation in an apparent contrast at the OpenAI board's desire for caution in developing AI technology. So we'll...
Yeah, because Microsoft was so, so thirsty to get their AI tools out, their little co-pilot thing. They're going full steam ahead. And I'm sure they're glad to have on somebody who's, they're trying to race full throttle forward.
Yeah, into the breach.
So it seems like a good match.
Yeah, and I'm happy for them.
I love that for them. Love that for us.
Who cares about us? As long as Microsoft makes money, you know, that'll be fun. All right. Brian, you are a musician.
I was, yes.
You were a musician temporarily on hiatus. But I missed the episodes where you guys talked about Andre's new album.
Oh, yeah. Your digestive system.
I was busy thinking about my digestive system. But Andre dropped an album that when I first listened to it, I was like, this is spa music. But then like there would be these moments where I was like, God, that would be like so cool if someone like sampled that and like rapped over it and turned it into the type of music I like. But as the album went on and as I listened to it a second time, I was like, he has transcended rap music and death, and the only true form is flute. It's trippy. It's very interesting. It's definitely not the type of shit that I would normally be listening to. My wife found me listening to it and was like, what are you listening to? What?
Nothing like getting walked in on while you're doing some new age stuff.
I was shirtless with a loincloth on, just sitting Indian style with But what are your thoughts? How did it kind of compare to your expectations?
So my first listen, expectations is an important word because I had a not dissimilar reaction from you of, I didn't go immediately to spa music, but there was this whole battle in my head of, when it first came on and it has those really nice little chords going. Mm. And I was like, my first thought was like, yo, you chop this up.
Right?
You chop this up, right? You got a beat going. Yeah. And then I was like, and after maybe like 10 minutes, you know, letting the song develop, that left my mind. And I started to become absorbed in the music itself. Another thought that crossed my mind in the first track was, this reminds me of music from Zelda, from the last two Zelda games. Mm. Like when you're going, like when you're chilling in, you know, for my Zelda heads, when you're chilling in Hatino Village, just to hang out with all the lovely people there. And that feeling you get of peace when you're in Hatino Village, that's kind of what it reminded me of too. And then all of that gradually melted away as the album developed. And I started to sort of accept it as it is on its own terms, and sort of forgetting that it's made by this, you know, one of the greatest rappers of all time. And yeah, it ended up being what I think is just a really earnest expression and a good genre piece. Like, it's solid ambient-ish music. There's like an element of like free jazz and, you know, like Alice Coltrane type stuff. But yeah, I'd put it firmly in the ambient camp, and not like Eno ambient, but yeah, it's great. I went and got a massage on Friday, the day
that's
it came out.
That's the real test. That's what I'm going to, this has to be good for the massage business. Just around America.
All that, what I just said, you know, about it being like this thing. Yeah, I did go to the spa immediately, literally right. Almost immediately, and got a 90-minute massage and listened to the whole album. And it was fit for purpose. Let me tell you, it was great. It was a fantastic audio journey for a massage, and just sort of like letting your mind just go like where it wants to.
Yeah, it's a good. It's a good just kind of doing nothing, you know. If you're into meditation, this is probably a good one to fuck with.
Yeah, just sitting peacefully, staring out the window, staring at the ceiling.
Yeah. All right, let's take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll tell you what Snoop was really meaning when he said he's giving up smoke. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and a lot of the stories in this section can be summed up by the noise Brian made as we were going to break. First of all, a well-executed marketing stunt. Snoop saying, I'm giving up smoke, please, but doing a kind of note-perfect recreation of what it would look like if he was actually saying, I have a problem, please, like, because he asked to... for people to respect his privacy.
Privacy at this time, please.
At this time. Him and his family's privacy,
I'm so conflicted.
And it has been revealed that this was part of... It's not even a Super Bowl ad. It's just like an ad. He said, the only thing... Because I think we've been saying that we suspected it was going to be for a vape product or like a gummies product or something like that. And the only thing we were wrong about is it's not for a weed product. It's for basically a gas fireplace, like a little smokeless fireplace.
It's like a little trash can you can set a fire in your backyard.
That's actually miniature trash can
it's
fire.
It's a miniature trash can that you and your barbershop quartet can sing around when it gets cold at night.
Yes. Assuming that you have the fingerless gloves
and a little bindle.
Yeah, a little bindle stick, and that you're unshaven to the right degree. Yes, you can warm your little hands around this fire and sing doo-wop. But a lot of people are like, this was well played. And a lot of other people are like, I'm so tired. And that's what it feels like to me. It just feels you know, capitalism is good at capitalism, you know, like there's always, this is what the, you know, top grads from some of America's and, you know, other countries, humanities programs go into is like
the smartest people in the world are working in advertising and marketing,
like exactly
straight up, and they're making your shampoo.
Yes. And they're calculating the best mouth feel for junk food so that you can't stop eating it. Yeah, that's, or they're working in fucking, you know, hedge funds and other markets and shit like that. I don't know if that's true anymore. It definitely was true 10 years ago. I do feel like people have like been like, fuck this at a certain point. So hopefully we stop with everybody just going into the worst possible industries. But yeah, it's hard to be mad at Snoop.
Yeah, it's like Snoop, especially in, you know, the last 10 years, Snoop doesn't do anything unless there's a check involved. And it doesn't really seem to matter like where the check is coming from. Like, he just likes to get paid and he will pull up for a paycheck.
Yeah.
Full stop. And you look at him in here in this picture roasting his little marshmallow over his trash can, and he looks so happy and stoned.
That's right.
Like when that wire hit the bank account.
Can we get the moment when the wire hits the bank account in this ad? All right.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect. Yeah. He also lights the marshmallow on fire, which will cause smoke. But that's other than that, you know?
Yeah, you're going to get a little. I mean, but hey, you want a little carbonation on the marshmallow.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Another news story that kind of made me tired was this Bill Clinton fucking up the memorial statement for Rosalynn Carter. Rosalind Carter, one half of the longest lived presidential couple in American history, died on Sunday, and she was 96. Jimmy Carter, who went into hospice almost a year ago, is still alive. But Bill Clinton like posted a statement. He was like, Rosalind Carter was the embodiment of a life lived with purpose. Mine, Hillary's full statement. And then it was a JPEG of their statement for the passing of Dianne Feinstein. So his people just got two different dead elderly women confused, uploaded the statement that had already been posted about Feinstein. It was deleted, obviously replaced with the correct statement. But like, I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's like just imagining the machinations of the behind the scene of like, all right, post the state. You know, he probably doesn't even have
to. This is why you don't let Bill manage his own Twitter account.
Right. I can't imagine it was, but like, what are we even doing here? He has like a staff with various statements on deck for deaths of famous people.
Well, this is just. Hasn't this happened before? I feel like this happened before, like maybe years ago, a year or two ago, like somebody died. And I feel like this is just a thing that politicians do, especially like when there's like, you know, like a shooting or something. It's like they have these copy paste things. Just they have a folder of, oh, here's the statement for a shooting. Here's a statement for when an old senator dies.
I mean, news agencies for sure all have like obituaries for most famous people on deck. And then like, I remember when I worked at ABC News, when I was, you know, right out of school, I think it was the Pope died, and they, you know, had one on deck, but like you had to like make sure that he was actually dead before you posted it. And, you know, they have like an entire TV package on deck. And like, sometimes they accidentally run it before somebody has died, and then people are like, wait a second. But yeah, I don't know. The fact that also the Clintons have like these statements drafted for deaths, and it's just like such a dry, rote, pointless exercise in like inhumanity. And for what? Like, are people sitting around waiting for Bill Clinton's thoughts on this? Maybe they are.
Obligations are, and you know, decorum are weird. And they don't really make a whole lot of sense a lot of the time. We're not checking for you, but I mean, you gotta like, you're part of this institution, so I get it that you gotta make a statement because you're a former president that's alive, I guess. But yeah, a little more effort, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Maybe get the name right.
Put more staff on there. Yeah.
Maybe get the name right.
It'd be funny if they reposted it, but it was just like control F, like replace the exact same thing.
It's just control F. My God.
All right. SpaceX had their second Starship test launch. Kind of losing track. You know, I've seen footage of SpaceX Starships that launch and land and successfully. I guess these are the ones that they're testing because they're going to make the moon mission. So this is the second after the first one like blew up right after it took off, and they were like, yes, that is what we meant to do. They did like the rocketry equivalent of like tripping and breaking into a light jog to pretend like that's what you didn't trip and you meant to do that.
It's like there's a mandate that they're not allowed to have like failures or failure as part of the plan or something. Yes.
Yeah. They're meant to fail every time. So another successful launch on over the weekend, because once again, the ship blew up just minutes after launch, but it improved on the previous launch. Still ended in literal disaster.
It improved on the previous launch by exploding later.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Didn't explode immediately. So this is progress.
It illustrated that they had fixed key issues from the last test. This person, Astro Jordy Jordan, a blue check mark, you will be shocked to learn, responds to the Verge article. being like, you forgot to mention that everything that went wrong in the first test flight from a few months ago went right today. We expect explosions, and during these test flights, we are okay with them. SpaceX is making history no matter what, and they're doing incredible work.
Now, Astro Jordy, first off, get off the nutsacks.
Right. Second off, do you even work?
You don't even go here. Like,
right.
You...
That's what so I looked it up. I was like, oh, that's such a weird inarticulate statement from somebody who works for SpaceX. You know?
No, you have Astro in your name. I'm like, there's no way you work for fucking SpaceX, sir.
Yeah. Okay. According to his Twitter handle, his Twitter bio, he's just what's the truck? He's just a Cybertruck fanboy. And, yeah,
oh, you're a fan of this thing that doesn't exist. Okay, cool. And that gives you an opinion on literal rocket science.
Yeah, but the rocket and the booster separate. But I do love the invocation. You know, sports fans do this, so I'm not going to be too hard on them. But
it's the same energy.
We expect this, and we are on course. It's just like such.
You are not going to the moon, sir. You don't have a ticket. Right. So shut the fuck up.
He is doing this specifically to leave you behind.
He's vying for like a test subject position. Yes. Any of Elon's company. Hey, bro, you can put a chip in me. You can send me to the moon. You can send me on a rocket to the sun. I don't care.
Yeah. So they were hoping for a water landing. Instead, the booster separated, then exploded. And the Starship actually reached space this time, and then they lost contact with the ship just minutes after launch, and apparently it exploded too after the automated flight termination system triggered. So that's like they have an automated, like, will self-destruct in 5 seconds. But people just kept referring to this as like, well, this is all about the cultural differences between SpaceX and traditional NASA engineering, because NASA, like, will always design things to perfection before testing them out. And SpaceX says their motto is build, test, break, repeat. I don't know. I think that's, I don't know enough about, like, these systems or like that.
Well, you remember the Challenger disaster?
Right.
So that was back when, NASA got a little cavalier with their testing methodology.
Right.
And then a school teacher blew up along with like 5 or 6 other people. So after that, you know, it's like NASA was they're all about their testing. And then they're like, you know what? We got this. We've been to the moon a few times. We're good. The 80s like, came around. They had a fucking disaster.
Have you guys seen Apollo 13? I know it's not out yet, but like, we're NASA. We've seen it. That's... we can't fuck up. We're invincible. And they knew that shit, like, there was a big panel of people who were in charge of like making the decision of whether or not to launch the Challenger. And a majority of them knew that what happened to the Challenger had a very good chance of happening. The O-rings.
It was totally preventable. Yeah. They had a fucking clue before it happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what happens when you are cavalier with safety in inhospitable environments and situations, like going deep into the ocean to see the Titanic, or going into space, or lighting a massive explosion underneath you and sending it out through a tiny little butthole at the bottom of a rocket.
Right.
Cool. Like, they like to move fast and break things. They're taking that tech. Yeah. Ethos into a space, pardon the pun, into a space where I don't really think it belongs. But you know, he's got the capital and the clout and to do this sort of thing, and NASA's backing private industries going to space because they don't get enough funding to do it themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's in fashion for us to be like, the market will figure it out.
Plus, it's like, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, NASA doesn't have to take the scrutiny if a rocket blows up.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for putting the, physics of rocketry into the terms of a digestive system where the rocket is just farting itself into space. That was helpful for my purposes.
Yeah, it's like how do you fart fire without exploding yourself?
That's right. I ask myself that every day. But also, so like, I can't say whether it's like a good strategy, like whether they're identifying more potential flaws than NASA would be with its pencil neck math or whatever it does. But it does seem like it will be a little scarier to go up in one of these rockets once they've got it figured out. Like this is a private enterprise. If Delta Airlines' method for introducing a new aircraft was to like blow a bunch of them up in highly public test flights before you boarded one a decade later, I feel like people would be like, I think I'm going to like fly American or whatever. This is scary. I'm scared now.
But I mean, this is how he does things. It's like, I mean, all you have to do is look at Tesla's to see. It's like, yeah, you don't need like a fully working, viable product that does everything it says on the tin to sell a shitzillion of them.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
Whoever the fuck is really vying for them. Because it's like, that car is not... Well, no matter how you feel about it, that car is not what was fucking promised.
No.
At all. So, I don't want to see the finished... I don't want to be on the finished product.
So don't tell that to Astro Jordy. The problems with the Cybertruck are exactly what we had in mind.
And it's also like design stuff. Like, you ever tried to get in a Tesla?
Oh, yeah. And like, the handle.
What the fuck is that? I'm like, okay, this innovation didn't need to happen. You ever try and drive a Tesla? Like, what is that yoke where it's got like 540 degree rotation, but you can only hold it on two sides? That doesn't make sense. Like, at all.
The yoke? I'm not even
like
sure
those weird steering wheels they have.
Oh,
in
the
some
steering
Teslas,
wheels that don't have the
they
top.
Do the full steering wheel turn, but there's no top and bottom, so you have to awkwardly like, and it's like you make the turning radius shorter if you have a yoke, or you put in a real steering wheel. You don't mix those things.
It's the future. Feels like the future.
And I'm like, what's his? What is like? What are the quality of life features going to be in this fucking rocket? Like. is the rocket gonna have a steering wheel? Like, because that doesn't make sense.
They're just like doing 3-point turns with the rocket. So I don't know. We'll see. I generally have a hard time believing that this philosophy of just like blowing massive amounts of metal and jet fuel up and pretending it's what you intended to do, and also like. Because of the ties to NASA, pressure's been put on the FAA and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to just say that if these test launches are okay, which they do despite incidents of flaming debris landing in public wildlife preserves.
Like, Well, just like, oh my God. Yeah, it's like they've already, like, Florida's already given him a free pass, basically. They've already set it up that when... one of these, you know, second stage rockets lands on someone's fucking condo that he will not have to answer for it.
They'll just drop a glass dome over it. I feel like that's where it'll happen.
We meant to do that. It's
And actually we're cutting all these people off, not for to kill them and replace them, but because we want to study them, because it's helpful to future launches. All right. Those are some of the things that were trending over the weekend that are trending this Monday morning. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.